All right, so we are into a series on a big summer series where we're looking at different circles in our life. We're talking about making a difference all year in 2016. And trying to get both my things working here. There we go. And so we're looking at making a difference in various places. And so this summer series into the fall, we're looking at various circles in our life. So if you look at the logo there, we've got the inner circle, my personal life Bible study. We talked about that the last couple of months. And now we're bridging out into my family. We're going to be getting into work in school in August, my society in September. And then we're kind of growing out from there even as we near into the November time this year, which is a crazy time. This year more than ever, it seems. So we're kind of looking at how we make a difference. And it all starts from the inside out. And so we talked about that. We talked about how in our personal lives, we just need to be like Jesus. Just like Jesus. To love like Jesus. To act like Jesus. To do what Jesus told us to do. To just follow all of those things. And we need that. And then this particular month, we're talking about family. We're talking about that family circle, just out from the personal circle in the Bible study circle is our family and how important that is. Today, we're specifically talking about distraction, or not distraction, but influences that influence us. So if you would, we're going to do this small group thing again, and I do not want any groups of two or less. I want groups of at least four or more in your small group. So grab a small group real quick. I'll let you guys kind of find some people. Some people are thinking, oh no, I don't know anybody. So church people, if you see someone you don't recognize, invite them in your group. Do not make them find a group. Do you hear me, church people? Okay? Because I want you guys to involve some people. So okay, we got a small group started there. Okay, and here's the deal. We're going to go really quick here. This will be a quick boom, 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 popcorn. And hey, Emily, good to see you. She's back to see us. So this will be a quick little thing. Just popcorn, find someone, get a piece of paper and get a pencil. Someone's going to be your note taker for you. And I want you to come up with as many influences in your life as you can. As many influences that you have. Outside influences, influences in your life. Anything that influences you. And make a quick list. And we'll take about less than a minute to get those down. And we'll get some answers here. All right. Stephanie's going to be coming around to the different groups, and we'll get some answers here, and I'll fill this board here. So, Stephanie, we'll start with your group over there. Let's get some of the answers that you guys have. So,
is it on?
What'd you guys? Yeah, you can just read them to Stephanie, and then she can read them.
Parents. Okay. Give me the list. Yep. Parents. Siblings.
Parents? Okay. Slow down.
Oh.
Parents. Okay.
Siblings. Teachers. Youth coaches. Celebrities.
Okay. Yes. So is this one big group over here? Or is it two groups? One big group. All right.
Okay. We've got friends.
Friends.
Family.
All right, hold on. Friends.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Joey Tribbiani. So, okay.
Family.
Rachel. Okay.
Work. Successful people.
All right, yeah, that's different. Okay.
Media,
big one there. Okay.
Music.
Man, they completely got a different list. That's pretty awesome.
They've got the church answer, God.
What? God?
The church answer. Okay.
Good job, guys. Got the church answer there. Proud of you. Thank you very much, Stephanie. Uh-huh. Yes, we got a group there. Mm-hmm.
Spouse. Holy Spirit.
Oh.
Bible.
Ha, Bible. Let me tell you guys, first service, they filled the board up, and then someone said Bible, and the whole place was like, ooh. So, good job, guys. You guys got down to it at like 20th on the list. Sorry, go on.
Family doctor.
Family doctor?
Yeah.
Not just doctor in general?
Family
physician.
Doctor.
Here, we'll do physician. Doctor. We'll do family doctor. Family doc.
Preacher.
Preacher. Well, I shouldn't tell you what my playlist was this morning on the way to church then. So, it involved Avenged Sevenfold Metallica. So,
TV and news.
TV and news. Big ones. That, I should have written that beside media.
Pets.
Pets. Sorry, at first service they said parents, and I thought they said parrots. All right. So okay, say pets. So we actually have that on this list.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Okay.
Children.
It's a great list.
Church.
Church. Really, we didn't have church up there? I'll put it with the Bible. Okay.
Radio.
Radio. So is that music or radio?
Radio. Group.
Okay, radio. Because we have music here, so.
Christian friends.
Christian friends. I promise, my wife did not read my sermon, so.
Work environment.
Work environment. So we've got work, and then. Okay.
Is that medicine?
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 No, that's... First service had that for sure. No, first service had recreational drugs. So.
You need it.
Those guys, that group is wild. You know, you get in here, you sing like 5 or 6 hymns, and it gets nuts. So.
Internet.
Okay, we're getting pretty full. Still got 3 more groups. I'm surprised we still have new stuff. It's amazing.
Drugs.
Drugs. Okay, now we're into the recreational.
That was my 11-year-old.
Right, drugs. Okay.
Infomercials.
I don't know how to spell infomercials.
Food.
I guess that's right. What?
Food.
Food.
Play? Yeah.
So recreation, that's recreational drugs. So recreation. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
If you're an adult, you call it recreation. If you're a kid, you play it playtime.
Grandparents.
So we got parents. That's teeny, but.
Ministers.
Okay, good. I'm not alone here. Ministers.
School. Did I say that?
School. Teachers.
Got any left?
And yeah, I figured there's probably a lot of overlap in the lists at this point.
People in traffic.
Not in a good way. If I see one more person play Pokemon Go on the highway.
Yeah, back in the day, you couldn't have a Red Rider BB gun because you'd shoot your eye out. Now you can't play Pokemon Go because you'll get run over. So, toys
government.
Are...
Government.
Government. How do we not have that? Wow. Yeah, that's a huge one.
And on the Pokemon Go, don't forget video games.
Yes, video games.
Video games.
Where entertainment was somewhere in here. There we go. That's a word I know how to spell.
Billboards.
What?
Billboards.
Billboards. Okay. Advertisements. Ads. That'd be commercials. Billboards.
Is books up there?
Hmm?
Books.
Books.
Newspapers, books, those kinds of things.
So media, news, books. Great job. Holy cow. We are surrounded by influences. Yes. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Weather. Give Stephanie a hand.
Weather.
All right. Put that one up there and I'll have to. We have just a number of influences all around us, constantly involved in our lives. Let's write this down. We have many voices. Many voices. We have many voices. Back when I was a youth minister down at Falmouth, Kentucky. Falmouth, you got to let that kind of fall out of your mouth, Falmouth. To say it right, Falmouth, Kentucky. Down at Camp Northwood. Someone, you're raising your hand, I didn't know if. So, well, we were down there, and at the beginning of a week of camp, we played a game with all the students, and they had blindfolds on, and we had counselors that were standing in certain places. Some of them were intermingled among the kids, and the goal was to get to a destination with the blindfold on, and you were listening to their voices, and they were calling you. Some of them were false voices. Some of them were good voices, and I wish we could have just gone out in the parking lot or over next door in the field or something and played this with the church, and because it was such a potent illustration, and to be able to live through that and have all these voices, and then to hear the kids' feedback from it after they'd done it, and to see their reaction when they got to the place, and they thought they got to the right place, you know, and they pulled off the blindfold. No, no, I went to the place they told me I wasn't supposed to go, and it's because they were listening to the voices that took them there, and then the ones that got to the place where they were supposed to go, they took the blindfold off, and they're like, yeah, listen to the right voices. And then I think it was later that was connected with by the Vesper speaker that's heaven and hell. That's the reality of these voices we have in our life. We have many, many voices in our life. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. I picked the New Living Translation that seemed like a fitting version of that. Associate with fools and get in trouble. New Testament covers the same wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Not the 70s band. let's write this down. It is dangerous. It is dangerous to be influenced by a couple of things we're going to talk about today. By the wrong people is the first thing we're going to talk about. You hang out with wise people, it helps you to be wise. You hang out with fools, you're going to get in trouble. That's just the way it is. Bad company corrupts good character. It corrupts good morals. So it's dangerous to be influenced by the wrong people. We need to be aware of the people that we surround ourselves with. They will influence us. Now, are we to cut ourselves off from the rest of the world because we're Christians? Absolutely not. We're going to talk about that in about 20 minutes. In hopefully 20 minutes. Right now, we're just focusing on the awareness that we have of the influence of people that we have when we allow them close to us and we allow that influence in our lives. We need to make sure that we have a good, solid group of Christian friends around us and Christian role models in our lives. We've been talking in this series about how the Christian standards, how the Christian principles, how the godly morals that are found in the Bible, in God's Bible, how they are quickly, and I mean quickly, like as in we can watch it happen. It is happening right before our eyes. The principles and the morals of the Bible are quickly being thrown aside in our society, in our culture. And it is very important that we make sure that we are around people that are going to influence us in the right ways and not to be around the wrong people. That sounds very basic, but I think we all need to be reminded of that. Parents, are you surrounding yourself with other Christians that will help you to be a good parent? That will help you to follow God? Because as we traced the chain a few weeks ago, if you want to be a good parent, you have to be a good spouse. If you want to be a good spouse, you have to be the best man or woman of God you can be. Do you have friends that are going to link you to that? And now I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. This might be difficult for some of you. If your children, if their friends were who you have as your friends, would you look at them and would you say, those aren't good people to be around? They're not a good influence on your life. They're not healthy for you. It's a sobering thought. But are the people that we allow closest to us, are they good people? Are they people that we should be influenced by? Or do we have bad company? On a different note, still talking to parents though, are you then providing a good influence to your children? Is that something you're consciously thinking about, something you're doing? Because they're watching you. We talked about this through the series already. They are watching you. And it doesn't matter how old your kids are. If they're in your house, in elementary school, high school, if they're out of your house and they've got families of their own, they're still watching you, and you need to provide for them a good influence. You need to be the person in their life that is the right person to look to. You must not be in the category of the wrong person to be an influential person in your kid's life. You need to be the right person for them. You don't need to be a person that's going to influence them in a dangerous way, to be a dangerous influence on them. And I know that sounds kind of silly to speak about, but sometimes we get so caught up in all these other things, we need to be brought back to center and start thinking about some of these grassroots things and say, you know what? I really do need to be a better influence on my children, consciously working to do that, to make sure that I'm not just bypassed, because you've only got so many years where they're in your house. You've only got so many years that you can influence them. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, and we're not guaranteed where our children are going to move to. I moved far away from my parents, and we still keep in contact, but it's not the same level of influence as when I was in their, under their roof. So parents, we need to show our children what life looks like when life is done right. We need to be a good influence on them. Show them what wisdom looks like. Children, are you surrounding yourselves with people who are good influences? Be very careful who and what you allow to influence you. What voices? I'm talking to the kids here, so you guys can listen up when I say children. I don't mind if you draw in color, but this is for both groups. Be very careful how you influence your life, who you influence, who you allow to influence your life. You need good influences in your life. And when your parents are telling you to get good influences, get people that are healthy around you, you need to listen to them. Children, you need to if you have been blessed with Christian parents, now this goes from the little kids that we have in here all the way up to the oldest kids we have. How many of you guys are kids? Every one of us. We all have a mom and a dad. None of you guys are Darth Vader. Anakin, sorry. No, so anyway. Nerd joke. You can look it up on Google later, internet, wherever that went. No matter who you are, you've got a parent. And if you are blessed, if you are one of the rare people that are blessed with a Christian parent, not everybody has that. If you are blessed with a Christian parent, you need to allow them to be an influence in your life, because if they're trying to be an influence in your life, you need to let them be an influence in your life. And I mean, are our parents perfect? No. But if we're trying to be the best influence we can be, and you're shutting us out and there's resistance, you're missing out on what could be one of the best influences in your life, one of the most rightest person, skip the grammar, that could be in your life. Don't write your parents off. If you've got Christian parents, be thankful that you have Christian parents. Let them in. Let them influence your life. So it's dangerous to be influenced by the wrong people. And here's another thing that is dangerous to be influenced by, and that is false teaching. Galatians 5, verse 7 says, you're running well. You're running a good race. Who cut in on you? It's a different version. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. This idea here is that you just take a little bit of leaven and you knead it in, and it covers the whole dough. And we see this presently in our world today with false teaching. Exactly what Paul was talking about here in Galatians. We see this. We see how just a little bit of untruth, a little bit of something that's false, gets spread through a whole bunch of people. It almost seems like weekly this is happening in our society, in our culture, that things that are considered evil or perverted by the Bible are being written off as right and natural and good. That's a verse that we looked at a few weeks ago, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. This is the world we're living in right now. We have to be careful who's influencing our thoughts, what teachings we're listening to. Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It is dangerous to be influenced by the wrong people, and it is dangerous to be influenced by false teachings. There are many people in authority over us. We've got people in positions, where is it? We've got government, and government officials. Didn't even make it on there. Sorry, Chris. But police officers, people in those areas, people who have authority over us. We have teachers in our schools, at our work. Where was work? Work was somewhere. There we go, work. We have work, we have bosses and supervisors. So we have people in authority over us. And the Bible tells us that we need to be submissive to those people in authority over us, that we must respect them. We have to obey them as long as it doesn't go against anything that the Bible teaches. And we're not to the point of Nebuchadnezzar back in the Old Testament where we are being required to bow down and worship idols. That day might be coming, the slippery slope that we're on now. And I don't want to be a doom and gloom preacher, but we've got some crazy times that are happening around us. And right now, some of our freedoms in that First Amendment are being attacked. And it's only time before we're in the same category as Daniel, where his right to pray in private was yanked and revoked from him. Our freedom of religion, I don't know how long that First Amendment's going to stand as it's being attacked in other areas of it and being twisted and moved. It's a mess. But we're not there yet. We're not in the period of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We have freedom of religion, and so we must operate peacefully and respectfully. And even then, you look at that example of those guys in the book of Daniel, they did so peacefully and respectfully and still stood up for their integrity and their character and what God's word says, the truth that is found in God's word. So we must operate peacefully and respectfully with these governing forces, these people that are in authority over us. But that doesn't mean that their voice gets to be or should be we would allow it to be the loudest voice of reason or the loudest voice of morality in our life. We cannot let that happen. Students, you're in school, and if your teacher's teaching evolution as a fact and not a theory, that is false teaching. That is against our... We've gotten to where that's just acceptable. We're like, oh, well, they're just teaching evolution. It's just what they believe. No, listen, if you're a Christian and you believe the Bible, that is not right teaching. That is false. The Bible teaches something different. So, because that's false teaching, does that give us the right to be disrespectful to our teacher? No. Does it mean we have to believe what they're teaching as truth? No. So we have to worry about, we have to make sure that we're balancing those two. We need to be respectful, but we also need to be aware of what is false teaching, and we need to be aware of false teaching so it doesn't cut in on our race, so it doesn't knock us off the course that we are on. They can teach all they want, but it doesn't change the truth that is in God's word. We need to be in the Bible. That sermon series we just came out of last month, we need to study the Bible. We need to be in it more than just a Sunday morning. You can't survive on just one meal a week. How in the world are you going to do it spiritually? We need to be in the Word. And now more than ever, because there are so many false teachings out there, you need to be able to know what is false and what's true and what's right. And I can only cover a certain amount here. In our Sunday school teacher small groups, they can only cover a certain amount. We need to be in our Bible. We need to recognize what is false and what is true. And we cannot be shaken by the false teaching that is surrounding us right now. If your boss or your supervisor, if they're trying to get you to compromise your integrity in your job, asking you to phony up the bid or asking you to give an unrealistic timeline to your customer in order to get their business or to give promises that you know are lies, don't do it. Respecting your authority doesn't mean doing those things that compromise your integrity. If you're going to get fired because you're not going to do something that would compromise your integrity. Don't get fired because you're being disrespectful to the person asking you to do that. You see the difference? See, because this, that's not helping our witness. That's not helping us to be the salt or the light of the earth. Our country is being filled with a lot of these false teachings. We are watching as this leaven is just being spread throughout. Do not give up, church. Do not give up. Do not give up on the truth of the gospel. Do not give up on the teaching that's in our Bible, on how relevant it is to our life. Don't give up on that, church. Don't give in. Don't let these influences move you to a place where you've given up on God or on the truth of the gospel or the power of the gospel. It is still saving lives. The power of Jesus is still making a difference between heaven and hell for souls. That is truth, and that is happening, and you cannot give up on that. Don't let these false teachings knock you off course. Put your head down. Stay determined. Get your game face on. Whatever it takes. And prepare to stick to your guns. And do so in the most loving and respectful way. So we are to operate in love. But that doesn't mean we're pushovers. Jesus once said of his church, his vision of his church, he said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. We're not a doormat, Christians. We operate in respect and in love and in peace, but that does not mean that we are to be trampled over. That does not mean that we get soft and we get, you know, spongy and we don't stand up for what's right. We don't stand up for what the Bible speaks of as truth. We don't stand up for what is a character or integrity or moral issue that we've learned from God's word. The only way we're going to be the super force that Jesus intended for us to be is to not be tossed around by all these false teachings. To know what the Bible says and to stand on it. We are living around many, many people, many of these voices in our life that are building their house on sand. Do not be that person. Do not join them. Do not be influenced by them. The wrong people or false teachings. So let's sum it up with this statement. Anything that encourages or entices us to go against God's ways is a bad influence. If you're trying to define, well, I don't know if this person or I don't know if this teaching's bad. Anything that encourages or entices us to go against God's ways, that's a bad influence. That's not something you want to follow. We have many voices in our life and we need to identify the good and bad voices. We need to identify the good and bad influences in our life. We need to let the good influences have power, and we need to let the bad influences, we need to strip the bad influences of their power. It's that simple. Jesus talked about voices in our life in John chapter 10. He said the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his what? His voice. The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. This is just potent right here. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's what? Voice. Let's write this down because I think this is very true for all of us. We have gotten too familiar, way too familiar with the wrong voices in our lives. We have gotten too familiar with the wrong voices in our lives. And when that happens, we lose familiarity with the one voice that matters in our life. We get confused and we should be running away from all of these other voices. We should be running away because they're not a good influence on us. I mean, some of them are, yes. But the bad influences, the wrong people, the false teaching, we should be running away from those. They're bad influences. They're wrong paths for us. But there's an even better reason to run from them, not just because they're bad, not just because they're going to be harmful to us, but there's a better reason that Jesus shares here, and I think it's pretty amazing. We should run from them because they're not familiar. We should have stranger danger when it comes to these voices. Let's write this down. We should run away from the voices that differ from the voice of God. If we are familiar with the wrong voices in our life, we're not going to run away from them because they're familiar to us. All too often, I think the truth for a lot of us is that we seek God's wisdom out. We seek God's opinion on something. We go to that after these other voices have had their influence on our life. Oh, I wonder what God says about this. After we've been reading it on the internet or looking at the media or having Facebook didn't even make it up there. But we have, you know, all the social media that's going on. After we do that, then we go to God's word. Or then we pray to God. God, what do you think? What's going on here? He should be the first voice. He should be the only voice we're listening to on these subjects. And I fear that that's what's happened to the church in America, is that that has shifted and we've been influenced by so many other voices that we've lost touch with the one voice that matters, the one voice that matters, the gatekeeper, the shepherd. And the sheep listen to his voice because they recognize it. You will listen to the voices that are most familiar to you. What voice or voices are most familiar? We need to run from those other voices because they're not familiar. That would be, I mean, that's the ideal reason here. Not just they're bad. I mean, that's pretty elementary. Yeah, they're bad. Don't do something that's bad. That's not right. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't fit logically. But Jesus' reason is you should run from those voices because you recognize God's so much more over those other ones. And there should be a stranger danger there. Should have had that as the notes. Stranger danger. You remember that one. Jesus made it clear in his teaching, in this teaching, and in many others, that there is only one voice that matters, and that's the voice of God. Let's write that down. That is the voice that matters. That is the most important voice in your life. Parents are to use our influence to connect our children to God's voice. Proverbs 22:6, you guys figured this verse would probably be popping in sometime during this series. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. We should be doing all we can, parents, to make God's voice familiar to our children. If that is the one voice that is most important, if that is the one voice, and that voice is going to stick with them. I can't always be with my kids. I can't always watch what they're doing. We were talking about internet security and different things. I mean, they've got their tablets, and they're on the internet. That's not something I had when I was young. And there are all sorts of things that I could download and different things. And I know as a techie, you know, I was once into IT at one time. And technology moves so quick that if you're not keeping up with it day to day, you're going to fall behind. And I told my boys, I said, there's no way I can keep up with what's out there. I can't have enough things monitoring you. And so what we need is we need some trust between us. And I need to know that at 8 and 9, I need to know that you guys are making good decisions there based on the example I've tried to give you and based on connecting with God's voice. What does God say about this? Is this something that would be right to do, right to look at, right to read? So we as parents, we need to be doing all we can to connect our children to the voice that matters, the one voice that really matters. Children, if your parents are trying to connect you to God's voice, let their voice be a strong influence in your life. And don't resist. Don't push against that, kids. Even us, older children. There's going to be a lot of voices out there. You already hear a lot of these voices in your life. If your parent is trying to connect you to the one voice that matters, trying to connect you to God's voice, don't resist that. Are we perfect? No. Are we going to try if we're a Christian parent? Yes. I think we need to try a little more consciously. I think we can improve that as parents, as Christian parents. But children, if your parent is trying to connect you to the voice of God, then you need to let them be an influence on you. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That'd be stupid. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's write this down, and don't get packed up yet. There's some preaching yet to go. That can be distracting. But let's write this down. Final note of the day. Sometimes we have it backwards. We are not to be influenced by this world. We are to be the influence. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You are the influence. And I think this is what I was talking about a few minutes ago, that I think the church in America, it's been fading over years, and we've lost our influence because we've allowed all these things to have influence. We've been so concerned about acceptance. Now, I'm all for acceptance. You guys have heard me talk about that. I'm not for tolerance. There's a difference. And we've gotten to where our message has been watered down because we've allowed all this influence from outside. And we've gotten this so backwards, and I think it's so inundated that the church needs to wake up, and we need to understand, I don't need to be influenced by this world. I don't care how loud the voices are or how many people are saying it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's evil, it's evil. If it's perverted, it's perverted. No matter how many people are saying it's not. No matter how many people are saying that evolution is the right thing, or no matter how many people are saying that we have the right to choose our sexual identity or different things there, what's wrong is wrong. And that's what the Bible says. And we stand on it, church. We are the influence. Jesus said, I made my church, and it's gonna be so powerful that even the gates of Hades won't be able to stand against it. We need to be that church, America. We need to be that church. How do we do that? You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. What does salt do? If you've been thinking about that, what does salt do? I mean, salt's not acid, is it? You got it. You shake salt. We'll get to that. You're about a page ahead of me. We're not acid, are we? Because I think that's what a lot of us think. If we're going to make a difference in the world, we need to, you know, go out, and this is an extreme version, but like the Westboro Baptist Church and the mess that's going on, the different places you see them show up. Or even the street preachers down at the Reds games, as you pass by and you see these guys, you know, turn or burn type guys. I pass them, and I'm a Christian, and I don't want to listen to them. I have no idea what people that don't know Christ, how they feel about that. That's not really making an impact. That's not really being the salt of the earth. I drive to Christ Hospital. I'll be driving there Tuesday for both of those surgeries. And often, as you pass down, it was at Auburn Avenue, there's a Planned Parenthood right there. And often, and almost every time I go through there, there's people picketing that. What difference is that, man? How's that making a difference? How's that the salt of the earth? And I, believe me, those people, they fully think, Westboro Baptist, they fully think they are being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But that's not work. That's not getting it. That's not how we are to do it. You know, earlier we talked about the wrong people in our lives, that we need to avoid the wrong people as far as their influence on us. But the opposite is true when we are understanding that we need to be an influence. We need to be with the wrong people. Jesus got a reputation of being a drunk and a glutton because he hung out with people that were drinking and eating way too much. We need to be in those groups, but we need to be careful that they're not influencing us. We need to be the influence. We need to be the salt of the earth. Salt seasons. And acid, that condemns, that burns, that breaks away. That's you know. If you're the salt of the earth, what are you doing? You're seasoning. I love watching Hell's Kitchen. I'm a Gordon Ramsay fan. I've been watching that for years and years. How many of you guys, Gordon Ramsay, admit it in church? All right. Well, he really gets upset when they don't use enough, what? Salt. I mean, he will get upset. I can't even, so I can't even say the things that aren't bleeped out. And it's all over salt. He is so worked up over salt. Comes to the pass, he takes a little taste. I'm not sending this out. It doesn't have any salt. It's not seasoned. If that's Gordon Ramsay dealing with gourmet dishes, how do you think God feels with his church? We are to be the salt. How do we go out into this world and not bring seasoning with us? We season. Salt brings out the flavor of food. That's what salt does. That's why it's so important to Gordon Ramsay. So you want to go out and you want to be the salt, you bring flavor to people's lives. You bring value to their life. You take their life And you, and this is where she was a couple pages ahead of me, you just sprinkle the salt on. It's not an anvil. It's not a big anvil from like the Roadrunner cartoon. Big salt block. You know? You're sprinkling it. You're bringing value to other people's lives. You're helping their life to have season. You bring meaning and purpose to their life with the what you learn from God's word, what you understand with the morals and the and sound teaching and integrity, and you bring that to them, not in a way that's you know condemning, in a way that's loving and graceful, and you bring value to their life. That's how you salt. You bring value to their life. You help their life. You help them to taste better to the world around them. And the more you do that, the more they're going to come back to you. We're the light of the world. Are you illuminating your world with the light of Jesus? Sounds awful churchy to say it that way. We're in church. Sometimes I can say some churchy things. That works. Are you illuminating your world with the light of Jesus? And Jesus makes no mystery about what that is. We're not going, I don't know what the light of world, what is he getting at here? What does he mean? He is very specific. Your good deeds that you do before men, that's the light he's talking about. He made it very clear that they would see the good deeds you do and they would praise your Father in heaven. So how are we the light? Well, we go out and we do good things for people. We go out and serve people and we love people with actions. That's how you light up the world. You bring value to people's life. So much that you make them want to write a song about you. You light up my life. Okay. Be the light. Be the light so much that they need to be around you. Not because you tell them, you need to listen to me. You need to be around me. You need to be in church with me. No. Backwards. Think upside down. Think the way Jesus thought. They need to be around you because you bring so much joy to their life. You bring so much light to their life. You do such good things that they need to be around you. You bring so much salt into their life that if they're away from you, they're just not seasoned right. And the more and more that happens, they're going to learn and realize that the salt and light that you get, it's coming from your connection to God. And that's how you make a difference in our world. Some of us are sitting there thinking, you know, we're just a little church, or I'm just a person, or we're just a family. What can we do? This is what you can do. And these circles in the logo, as you look at that, those circles, that's how we do this. We are the salt and the light of the earth, church. We cannot afford to lose our saltiness because of the outside influences around us. We are the influence, not the world. We cannot put the light that we are to shine under a bowl. It does no good there. Every one of us should leave here thinking with our heart pounding inside of our chest with excitement, with your soul filled with meaning and purpose, thinking, I can turn the tide. I can make a difference. I can influence. How can I influence the people around me? Who can I be salt to? You should be thinking about that right now. Your heart should be pounding, thinking, I cannot wait to cross this person's path again. I cannot wait to encounter this person again because I'm so excited to bring salt to their life. I'm so excited to season their life. I'm so excited to bring joy and light to their life. Illuminate your world. Light it up. Your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your schoolmates. Season the world around you. Imagine what it would be like if we did this. I mean, Jesus had 12 guys, effectively 11. You always get that one. 12 guys. We have over 120 people here on Sunday. Over. He turned the world upside down with 10%, less than 10% of the people that attend here on Sunday morning. Imagine what would happen if we, who, and I think my math's right on this, at over 1,000% more than the men that Jesus selected, how much more of a difference we can make. how much we can turn the world upside down by being the salt and the light, by not letting these influences speak into our life, by us recognizing that there are many voices in our life, but only one voice matters. And that is the voice of God. And parents, we should be doing everything we can to connect our kids to this. Children, you should be doing everything you can to let your parents connect you to the voice of God. And you yourself, it's a personal journey for yourself. For you yourself to make that connection. Some of you are thinking right now, still, really, what can a church like this do? What can a little church in Miami Town do? That's these influences speaking. Because if you listen to your Lord and Savior, he says, there's nothing impossible for God. Listen to that voice. Be an influence. Be the salt and light.